My guest at this time is Dr. Donald Palmisano, former president of the American Medical Association. We've asked him to offer his thoughts as we hear that President Obama and congressional Republicans and Democrats are going to be sitting down once again here in a couple of weeks to try and figure out where the common ground exists on health care reform legislation. And Dr. Palmisano, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you.
Thank you. Sir, we know that there's a lot of difference on some of the key points between the two parties here, and right now the bill's kind of in gridlock. You believe, though, if this bill could be pared down to really just a few dozen pages, a lot of the issues that folks are dealing with could be adequately addressed. Explain how that could work.
Well, first, I think we need to put those bills aside that they passed in the House and the Senate, 2,700 pages of more government control. What we need to do is to have a good conversation, and it's good that the president invited the Republicans and the Democrats. I wonder why it's taken so long. Everything was supposed to be open and transparent from the beginning, and it has not been. And so we need to look at what are the real issues here. The cost of medical care. We have the best medical care in the world. It's the cost of the insurance that's going up. We have some people who can't buy insurance because they have pre-existing conditions, and we have some people that are uninsured for various reasons. And so we need to deal with those particular issues. What we don't need is more government control, more price fixing. Price fixing always leads to a decrease in the availability of the service or the product. And so let's look at some of these issues. As far as costs, one thing we could do right off the bat is allow individuals to purchase health insurance across state lines. So that ought to be something everybody can agree on. Number two, we ought to have a fix to the broken medical liability system. Use proven treatments for that. The California cap, the Texas cap on non-economic damages, those would be good starts. Those are proven treatments. We don't need an experiment on the whole nation and get rid of the insurance that people have that they like. And we ought to allow individuals to own their own insurance. Give individuals the same benefits that companies get. In other words, allow people to have tax credits. So if they buy insurance, and we hope that everybody would buy insurance, then that would come directly off. It wouldn't be a deduction tax. It would be a credit come off of their income tax. And you could set a specific limit. And we need to get rid of the price fixing so that it would basically be a government that does its fiduciary responsibility, determine how much the government can pay for those individuals, such as the Medicaid individuals, such as the individuals on Medicare, and then allow people to privately contract. I'm always amazed when you ask people who are advocating for single-payer systems or more government control in medicine, why do you want to get rid of the right of private contracting? It's a hallmark of the free enterprise system. It's a liberty right for us to be able to talk to patients and patients to talk to the physicians and say, okay, the government or the insurance company pays this amount and we can negotiate for the rest of the money. Or if I want to tell a Medicare patient, don't worry about the copay, I can't do that under Medicare. If I privately contract in that manner, I'm kicked out of Medicare for 2 years and the patient doesn't get any payment for that treatment. So there are many things we can do that would be proven performers. What we don't need is more bureaucracy, more government setting standards that say what the patient can receive or not receive. We don't want to go to a British system or to a Canadian system. It's interesting that one of the high-ranking officials in Canada has come to the United States for heart surgery, and I think that's a very telling comment.
Dr. Palmisano, a couple of quick questions before we let you go. First of all, on that list of items that you outlined as being essential for significant reform, how much bipartisan consensus do you think exists on most of those?
Well, I think if people work in good faith, I don't think the Democrats are in favor of medical liability reform. I think the trial attorneys have a strong hold on the Democratic Party in that regard, because we passed, actually, the American public was, the overwhelming majority of the public was in favor of caps on non-economic damages in July of 2003, and the Gallup poll passed the House of Representatives, and we had the majority vote in the Senate. In other words, the majority of senators voted for it, and the Democrats did a filibuster. We got maybe 56, 57 votes. We couldn't get the necessary 60 votes to overcome the filibuster. So I don't think there'll be reform on that, but we could challenge them and say, well, why do you allow contingency fees? Doctors don't work on contingency fees. I'll save your life and I'll take 20% of your lifetime earnings after that. Attorneys take 33 1/3 to 40% to 50%, depending if it goes to appeal and so on. But we could, perhaps on that one, we couldn't get agreement. But what we could get agreement on is to make sure that people control their own destiny, people own their own policies, and they make their own medical care decisions with the doctor's trusted advisor. And we ought to certainly enhance and allow people to have health savings accounts. And the legislation, the way I see the legislation that they passed in the House and the Senate, the government would have control of what the policies would be like, and I'm concerned that they would eliminate health savings accounts as time goes on.
We're talking with Dr. Donald Palmisano, former president of the American Medical Association. And in our last minute or two here, Dr. Palmisano, I want to get your thoughts on the controversy within the AMA itself. The executive leadership endorsed the Democratic approach here, but it's pretty clear that the doctors that are belonging to the AMA are very hesitant to get behind. In fact, many of them are vigorously opposed to it. What happened inside the AMA?
Well, I don't know what happened. I'm a lifetime member of the AMA, and I think the AMA is a wonderful organization. They made a serious error in judgment when they supported or endorsed. I think they get into a word game there whether they supported or endorsed, but they're in favor of the bill out of the House and the bill out of the Senate. And they say, well, we want to get some other changes in it and so on. What they ought to do is say, this is what's necessary for good medical care and to protect the patients. And until we get that in the bill, we don't support or endorse anything. And so we're making strong comments at the last meeting of the AMA. We made strong comments, got some important things passed. No government, no expansion of government in medicine, the right of private contracting without penalty. And what we're trying to do is to get the AMA to follow policy, not to take a general statement to cover the uninsured. That's a laudable goal, but you got to follow the specific policy. And they're not doing that, in my opinion, and they're neglecting that, and I think they should be held accountable. And so you don't have to quit the AMA to hold them accountable, just like if you don't like your congressman or senator or your congresswoman, what you do in the American spirit, you vote them out of office. And I think we're seeing the American public rising up. We see the elections in Virginia, New Jersey. We see the election in Massachusetts. And that's a very, very important election, the new Senator Brown from Massachusetts.
Dr. Palmisano, a lot still on the table. We'll see what happens at this upcoming summit and beyond. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Donald Palmisano is a former president of the American Medical Association. For more information on the approach he and his associates are taking to this healthcare debate, visit protectpatientsrights.org. That's protectpatientsrights.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.